Welcome to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Now then, welcome back. It's Ladies of Liverpool. I'm Leanne Campbell. And this week we meet Lid Fit. So lovely Lydia is out and about on her social media pages. You can find her on Instagram. Just search Lid Fit. And she's empowering women from Liverpool and beyond. She's all about self-love, taking care of ourselves, talking to our friends, keeping our minds as healthy as our bodies. She does it through personal training, but she's also setting up some masterclasses, some workshops where us ladies can go along and walk out feeling much better about ourselves. We are discussing all the obstacles us ladies have to face, and I know you're going to relate to most of them. And as it's October, I must mention that our podcast comes to you in collaboration with Scare Projects Liverpool. Have you heard about the Candy Cavern? So it's half-term, daytime, family Halloween fun. Loads going on for the kids, a monster ball disco. We've got Halloween-themed arts and crafts, dance classes going on, a glitter bar, face painting, the lot. So if you're looking for something to do with the kids, get the whole family together. It's in conjunction with Kids Cavern and with Mini Madams. So Scare Projects Liverpool down at the Camp and Furnace. Sit back, relax and enjoy Ladies of Liverpool with the lovely Lydia.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
So self-love then. We hear it bandied about all the time. Self-love this, self-love that, self-care, time for you, all this stuff. To you, Lydia, this is your domain.
Yeah.
Tell me what self-love means to you.
So self-love to me is basically, like you've just said, it's a very big on the market and it's branded at the minute. And it is branded in a way where it's, oh, accept your cellulite, accept if you're, like, you're not a size 8, accept your body. That is a part of it for me. That's just a small part of it. So self-love for me is kind of accepting your vulnerabilities and accepting who you are as a person on the inside and being comfortable with that. So comfortable enough to step out into the world and kind of put your vulnerabilities on the table because you love yourself enough to know that if it doesn't work out, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
So that to me is self-love. It's accepting pain that you've been through. It's accepting, you know, good times, bad qualities about yourself, good qualities. It's not just about accepting what we look like on the outside.
So through your personal training that you're doing, this is the eye-opener for me. So you're speaking to women one-to-one in a gym environment.
Yeah.
And what kind of stories are you hearing from the Ladies of Liverpool who are, they're trusting you, they've got your ear, and it's at times like that, like with your hairdresser, you know, in these moments where you sometimes say things that enlighten you. You say, I didn't even know I was feeling that.
Yeah.
But they tell you, they confide in you.
Yeah.
So what kinds of hurdles are you feeling that these women today who are coming to you are dealing with that maybe you can help with?
It's just like the main thing with personal training is a lot of people come for obviously to lose a certain amount of weight or and then they'll think that they feel confident. But then what I find is when we do training, because I get a lot of my clients based on the message that I send, which I find really inspiring, and like it's unusual for the personal trainer to get clients just based on a message that they send out. I'm not about promoting like big crazy diet plans and stuff. I just want to help women feel fitter and healthier. So a lot of the time they'll come to me for that. And then when we're talking, they think it's just like an issue that can be solved if they lose weight. Mm-hmm. And then what it turns out is they've got like all these underlying issues when it comes to themselves, or it comes to the confidence or the relationships or things that they've been through. And when we talk, they kind of realise that it's a much deeper issue, and like losing the weight is not going to help. You know, it's not going to miraculously make them feel like they love themselves. And I think that's the biggest thing that they realise when talking to me, because without me realising it, I am quite... When I'm talking to people, I allow a space for them kind of to reflect, and I'll ask them questions without me even realising it. I'm kind of like a little mini therapist as well. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time they'll come to me and they'll be like, I didn't even realise that issue about myself. And like, just through training, you've made me realise it. So it's a wide range of things really that, you know, like are hurdles for women. But it's just things we go through every day, things we see in the media. Like, we don't realise how much of an impact that has when we're saturated by perfection every single day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really impacts us, and it impacts our mental health, and it impacts our relationships massively.
Ladies of Liverpool.
It's different now for young girls than I'm in my late 30s, and the problems we had when we were younger and dating and all that kind of stuff, and the things me and my girls used to talk about. He didn't phone back. He said something about you. It's so different now because of our phones.
Yeah.
So you've got pictures of girls getting thrown around. You've got videos of girls getting sent around to other people to see that are staying on the internet forever. Mm-hmm. And I just feel so sorry for girls dealing with this kind of stuff. In your personal appearance, are you getting more of this? Are you hearing more stories like this?
It's very common for young girls. And I think one of the things that makes me so relatable is that's happened to me in a relationship.
Tell me about it, Lydia.
So basically, I was in a relationship and there was private photos that were sent round of me without, I didn't know anything about it. Mm-hmm. And this person was a long-term partner of mine and he was sending them to his manager at work, who was in his late 40s, 50s, all his mates who he was in football with, who were then coming up to me like, look at the pictures I've got of you on my phone. And I didn't even know some of them had been taken. So these pictures for the first time. So it took me a long time to get over that, a long time.
And I take it you dumped him at this point, or did
no,
you?
No.
You still loved him?
I still loved him. It took me a while.
He was showing you off.
Yeah, that's how he viewed it. Like, he was proud of me and he was just showing me off. But what that done for me was completely diminish my self-worth. Like, I had none. I was just seen as, like, a sexual object in a relationship with someone who I obviously was deeply in love with.
How private were these pictures, Lydia?
Very private. Very, very private.
Oh, do you know? I've got a daughter.
I know.
And it foils my piss. It really does.
And at the time, I didn't realise, but then when I stepped out of it, I was like, how could someone do that? And I think now, because I'm in a new relationship with someone, and he's so amazing. And when we talk about things, he's like, I just don't understand how you could do that, Lydia. And I think it's only now, like the past year or so, that I've actually come to realise like how bad that was. But the thing for me is I'm very open, so I will talk about that on my platform, because that's not for me to be ashamed of. That wasn't my fault and I shouldn't be ashamed of that.
No, that wasn't
also,
your doing though.
It's so common. Mm. So I think I like to talk about it, like, because there's so many girls that go through it.
Well, I didn't know that you'd gone through it, and I've just started a conversation. And for you, for 50% of the people in this room to have gone through it.
Yeah.
How many other girls are facing this? I've heard of young girls and, you know, like in school. And they feel that to get a certain boy's attention, they've got to send certain photographs.
Yeah.
These lads ask for them. The next thing you know, they're everywhere. The mum and dad are dealing with a child who's suicidal.
Yeah.
These young girls who don't know how to handle it. And as a grown woman, I don't know how I would handle it. It shouldn't be something anybody has to handle. And that's the truth.
Yeah, it shouldn't. I think as well, though, and this is something I spoke about recently on my social media, was I think as women, I think we're starting to go too far in terms of empowerment and our sexualisation. I feel for me, we've overstepped the mark and we're sexualising ourselves too much. Yeah. And I feel like when it comes to self-love and self-acceptance, the two of them are kind of merging together now. And I think that's the message that we're putting out. Mm. Oh, you want to be a strong female and you want to feel sexy and you want to feel empowered. So put a picture on in your underwear on social media, or send a picture to a guy, because that's how you're going to get attention. So for me, what I want to do is step out there and say, you can be a sexual woman, but there's different ways to do it. Be sexual with your mind, be sexual with your soul, like, hold yourself in a different way. Like, you don't have to send these pictures out to be looked at as sexual. Like, I think it's so blurred nowadays. It's so difficult for people to address it. And it's so difficult for young girls to say no, because they don't understand any different. And
it's
when they go on, they pick
Lydia,
up Instagram.
It's a bit of me.
Mm-hmm. And it's completely saturated with girls in underwear or naked girls. And How do you know any different? Yeah. You don't.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
I love what you're saying. I can relate to this in the sense of, you know, girl in a male-dominated industry. Years and years and years ago when I started in it, there was a Facebook page at the time, maybe, when Facebook was just getting really popular. Might have been a website, I can't remember. And it was called Radio Girls or Girls on Radio, something like that. And I'd be bombarded with emails of, you know, can we get photographs of you, you know, like sexy pictures in your bikinis or whatever? And I'd be like, no, not a chance. I've never done anything like that. And no disrespect to any girl who does feel empowered by doing sexy pictures in the knickers, holding the boobs, all for it.
Yeah.
If that's what you want to do, that's great. But it shouldn't be the norm. It shouldn't be how we express ourselves when we feel confident. You can do that fully clothed.
Yeah, you can.
You can do that with a twinkle in your eye. Mm-hmm. You know, that's there are different ways. And as long as we're educating that is one way that you might feel that it works for you, but there are other ways. Again, certain things in radio. Right, Leanne, there's a World Cup competition. We're going to do a competition where you're in nothing but a bikini and we cover your body parts with balls. And every time England score a goal, the ball disappears. No, we're not. And it's hard when you're one of the few women in the building to stand there and say no to a bunch of fellas who think this is going to be the greatest bit of entertainment they put on the website. No, Mm-hmm. Not at all. Because I love myself a bit more than that.
Yeah.
And if you all want to stand in your boxes and put balls all over yourself, do that. And I think that's what actually happened historically, if you look back through the archives. But without naming names or situations or whatever, I was like, absolutely not. No. Yeah. That's just not me.
No.
So it's a personal thing, isn't it?
And yeah.
If you're encouraging girls to stay true to themselves mm-hmm. and to find out what self-love means to them, that's an amazing thing to be in charge of, Lydia. It's a powerful thing.
It is. And it's like taking ownership of your sexuality as well. So like last December I'd done a photo shoot that was, it was like an underwear like boudoir photo shoot, but I'd done it and made like a mini series out of it. So mm-hmm. if you go on my Instagram, it's called Essence of a Woman. And basically I didn't train before. It was right on top of Christmas and there was no editing or Photoshop. And what it was just to show a female body you don't have to diet down and look a certain way to feel sexy. And the response I got was amazing.
Yeah.
And there was no, honestly, like there was no men that come into my inbox. There was no like creepy guys. It was all women saying how amazing and refreshing it was to like just to see a girl take ownership of her sexuality, but in like a classy way, and to put out a good message and spread like a good body positivity message.
Yeah.
I wasn't standing there with my finger in my mouth being like, oh, look at me. It was more just like a, you can be powerful, own that and be powerful in like a different way.
I saw something just this morning, Lydia, and it was saying normalise normal bodies.
We
don't often see normal bodies. You know, the bodies you see around the swimming pool on your Aldi are not the ones that you're seeing on Instagram. They're not the ones you're seeing in catalogues, magazines, shop fronts, advertising clothes. We need to see more normal bodies. So the younger girls are growing up going, I don't need to be that one body type. I could be any of these mm-hmm. millions of different shapes and sizes that they should be being exposed to.
I've experienced like a fluctuation in my weight. So now I'm at such a happy weight. And what I do on my Instagram as well, and I've had bad feedback about this from personal trainers. If I go for a Five Guys, I'll put up that I'm eating a Five Guys.
Yeah.
Or I don't care. Like if I'm out with my boyfriend, I'll put up that I'm out. But I train hard as well. So I promote both.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I get slander for that. If I go to Mackey's, I'll have personal trainers messaging me like, why are you going to McDonald's and putting it up? I'm like, well, I'd rather give women with kids who are out all day who go into Mackey's, I'd rather give them a good option rather than them sitting there stressing and then they order a big cheeseburger and they feel guilty, do you know what I mean? And I don't, people in like my area kind of recognise me, so I don't want to go on social media and be like, oh, I'm eating a salad, and then someone sees me pull up at McDonald's getting a wrap.
Yeah.
I don't want to lie. I'm being true to who I am. I practice what I preach.
Yeah.
So for me, I was the big girl in school. Like, I was the fat girl, so like I was bullied quite a bit, and then I lost loads of weight, and then last year I got body dysmorphia. I was at the best I've ever looked, but I was on like a mad diet, crazy regime training. And I hated myself so much. And when I come out of it, I thought, never, ever, ever again am I putting myself through that.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, I think more self-love for my body comes. So now I am bigger than I was last year. Last year, I looked like the fitness girls that you see on Instagram.
Yeah.
But I was so miserable. Mm. I was so miserable. And that's what people don't understand. They don't grasp that.
I like that you're talking about that. Because I remember doing, I've done every fad known to man.
Mm.
And I remember doing the shakes, and you know, all my mates were doing them, and we were losing weight. It was great, and we were all talking to each other what we were having for our tea, and we were having vegetables for tea. But for the most of the day, breakfast and tea, we were having these shakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, the phrase when you're hangry, you're angry, and you're hungry. I could feel like I wasn't me. I was on the outside. I was working really hard to still be the same Leanne. So from anyone else, I imagine they thought I was the same person. But inside, it was dead hard work to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
I was really working hard to just being my normal happy self. I was like, no, I think I actually do need carbs and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do.
I enjoy food. I enjoy picking food. I love going out for my tea. So if the likes of you, you know, you're posting, you do go and binge. You'll have a nice day. And you'll eat something nice. You'll have a couple more glasses of wine than you should do. But then on the same platform, your social media page, you're still promoting healthy lifestyles, just mm-hmm. realistic ones.
Yeah, realistic ones. I don't want, I want to get away from all this feeling guilty for having something to eat or having a cheat day or going on. Like the thing with these fad diets is, yeah, they work and they might lose weight. But what people don't understand is mentally the impact that has. And that's, that's where I come into it, because I have done it. All these things that I speak about on my social media, I've been there and I've done it. So when I'm speaking, it's just coming from the heart and my experience. So I've been on a crazy diet. I was on that keto diet last year.
Yeah, same.
Training, crazy, crazy training, 12-hour days. I was absolutely exhausted. When I look back on pictures of myself, I think I look... Like, I look, if you look at my pictures, you think I look happy, but I can see that I'm not happy.
Yeah.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Can you, because I know it's hard, it's great helping to empower the people.
Yeah.
So I do it as part of my job and I'm all for making everyone feel great. The hardest thing in the world, and this is why I haven't done a podcast on myself yet, is talking about yourself. So I'm going to throw this on you now.
Okay.
In trial for all your masterclasses, okay? In training for your masterclasses. I'm going to ask you the big question. What do you love about yourself? And I want you to go wild. And everyone listening, after this podcast, I want you to sit down and take a minute and try and do the same thing.
What do I love about myself? Honestly, the thing I love most about myself is the growth that I've been through and how strong I am as a female. That is something I've worked hard on, and that is something... It's one of my limitations that no one is ever going to take that away from me ever again. Like, even I love my boyfriend to bits, but if that limitation was even so much as damaged a tiny bit, I'd have the strength to walk away, because I am never ever being in a situation that I was again. So for me, my outlook on like life, and I think the growth that I've been through, it's just, sometimes I am in little situations where I can see how much I've come on.
Yeah.
And I think, bloody hell, if that was like last year, that would have like killed you, like, or that would have made you feel like a certain way. And now I'm just like, wow, like I've actually come so far, and like all the advice that I give out, like I actually take on board and do myself. So that's the main thing, like how strong I am as a female now.
Good stuff. And that's good that you're saying that as a standalone person, because that's great. I think a lot of girls, and myself included, we kind of rely on our girl gang, on our girl group. We have our mates that we lean to and we go to for advice and stuff. And I adore my girl gang. I'm very lucky with them. And Jennifer Aniston was talking this week about her goddess circle. That's what she calls her group of mates. It's the girls that you can go to with anything. You can tell them anything. And I always think, oh, some girls haven't got that.
Yeah.
And that must be tough. So what about you? Have you got a girl gang? Have you got a goddess circle?
Yeah. Up until last year, I had no girl mates. Not one single person I could text if I was going to anything, or I could like phone and say, do you want to come round to mine and we'll just watch a movie and binge eat? Not one person. And when I say that to people, they go, yeah, well, you must have had. And I'm like, no, not one person. Like, I didn't have anyone I could talk to.
Why is that? Why do you think that was?
I don't know. Like, I think I have had pockets of friends, and like, I've like let myself in, and like, I've really opened up to these people. And it just turns out that they've just not being the nice girls that I thought they were. And I think a big thing for me, I put an emotional blocker up from like meeting girls. When I went to sixth form, I got bullied by a group of girls. And
can you talk to me a bit about that?
Yeah, so like it was for no reason. It was just basically, I think they just prejudged me based on the way that I looked. And they just give me a hard time in sixth form. Like if they wanted to ask, I hung around with like these, a lad and a girl, and if they ever wanted to ask them to do something, they were like, don't bring Lydia because she's not nice. Or they'd just like get pictures up of me on me like my Facebook, and I could see them looking at my Facebook, and they'd just all be laughing in the corner and stuff, and they just make me feel like really crap, like they just weren't nice.
That's gotta damage you, that yeah, that's,
and
that's
especially
tough
when you come out of school as well, and you think sixth form, like you are 18,
yeah,
so you, or like 16. You don't imagine yourself getting picked on in sixth form. You think it's going to be school, if any.
Yeah.
So I come out with like a really good group of mates in school. Went to sixth form. No one else went with me. And then I found myself in a situation where I was getting picked on, and I was like, I don't know why. So I just put like an emotional blocker up, I think, to meeting new people and meeting like especially girl mates. And then the ones that I did let in, it just turns out that they ended up not nice people, and they'd spread rumours about me, and I was like, what?
And once you get hurt a few times.
Yeah, why every time I meet new girls, like, does this happen? So I just cut myself off from everyone, and my outlook was, you know what, I'd rather have no mates than someone who's a false mate who I go to and speak to, and then they go and share it with everyone.
Yeah.
And then I think as I started to grow more as a person, I just become so comfortable in my own space.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I don't need friends. Like, friends will come to me, and the people who I need when I'm ready.
Yeah.
And then last year, I met three sisters and I met a few other girls who literally have become like my, like me rocks. Like, I just love them so much.
Your goddess circle.
Yeah, so I went, my goddess circle. So I went from no friends to meeting like six really strong spiritual like sisters. And yeah, I just like, now I'm so happy because we speak every day and like, I don't take them for granted at all because I've had no friends, so I know what that's like. So when I put a post up the other day, a lot of girls were messaging me saying, I don't have mates. And I was like, this is another thing that we don't talk about. Because everyone wants to appear like the socialites and they've got loads of mates. But there's girls out there that don't have friends. And it's sad. It makes you feel
it
sad.
It does. And there's always that girl. I think we can all think, as everyone listening included, have a think. We all know someone who met a fella and somehow, and I'm not throwing it all on the fella because the girl's obviously responsible as well, they moved away from all the friends. Yeah. Whether the fellas guided them in that way and they want them away from the mates or whatever, because we've all seen a little bit of that, whether it's right or wrong, that's our perception. But we all know a friend who's got into a relationship that maybe wasn't the best for her. Yeah. But once they get taken away from the friends, it's much harder for them to leave that relationship.
Yeah. 100%.
So there's always that behind it. And I think we can all think of someone that we know that's gone through that. So if you can tap up that person, they might need you right now. So if you're thinking of someone and they're still on your Facebook page or you've still got the number in your phone, it might be worth now, if you know they've taken themselves away from the circle of mates, it might be worth that little simple text. Just, how are you?
Yeah.
Just thinking about you. Hope you're all right.
Yeah. I think we lose our identity as women in relationships though.
Yeah.
I know I've definitely done it before, and I know when I get a lot of inboxes or to speak to girls, that's another thing that they speak about, is how do you like maintain yourself in a relationship. And I sometimes just get asked these questions and I'm like, that's actually a thing that no one talks about, like the no mates or losing yourself in a relationship. So self-love in a relationship is another separate topic. Like, people always say to me, how are you so independent and how are you so like, how do you continue to work on yourself if you're in a relationship? And I'm like, it doesn't have to be one or the other. Like, I got with my boyfriend in November and I went traveling for 3 months in January. I left a relationship. We stayed together, but I got a lot of stick for that off his friends and people who know him, and they were like, why is she leaving you? And I was like, because I want to, well, it was pre-planned before we got together, but I was like, I want to do my own thing for three months. It doesn't mean I love you any less, but I have to go and do it for me. And what's the alternative? I stay here and I start to resent you because I didn't go and experience something that was so amazing for me.
And do you know what I'm taking from this is, again, it's outside influences and how it can change the way you love yourself or the decisions you make for yourself. I've lost count of the amount of girls who, some I don't even know, who just message me on social media or whatever, and they go, you have this social life, you're out all the time, your husband's never in the pictures with you, you know, have you split up or whatever? We've been together 20 years, me and my Jay. First boyfriend, never split up. Bit of a random scenario, doesn't happen often, but dead proud of us. I'm really proud of us, and we're 20 years this year. And my only response to women who do question that is, this is why we've survived all these years. He hasn't got me in a cage under the stairs. He encourages me to go out and be me and earn a living. It's a job, let's be honest. Yeah. That's why I'm going out. But for other things like taking trips with your girlfriends for a weekend away.
Yeah.
I hope as time's going on, people are getting less and less offended by mums taking a weekend to go and recover.
Yeah.
But you see the abuse some girls get on social media, or just when you hear girls chatting along and, oh, she went away with a mate for two nights and left them kids, left them with the dad. He part owns them. It's quite fine. But if a fella goes off to go and watch the footy,
it's fine.
It's not even a question.
No.
I laugh, I do panto each Christmas. I do like a good Christmas season of work, and I'm working 20-hour days. And the main thing people say to me when they meet me, and again, people I don't know a lot of the time, isn't your fella great with the kids? Isn't it great the way he covers the... There is kids!
I know.
I'm going to work. No one goes to me, Jay was in work all day today and you picked the kids up from school and gave them the tea. Well done, you. Come on, girls. Support your other women. Change the way we're thinking.
Yeah.
We're equals.
We are.
We're all equals.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Final words from you then, Lydia. Give us a few little tips on how maybe we can move ourselves forward. If someone's stuck in a rut, maybe you're a new mum, maybe you've just lost your job, something's gone on in your life, you're grieving someone, you know, the crap that goes on in our day-to-day lives, and maybe you just want a bit of advice, a couple of tips, things that people can do that aren't going to cost a fortune, that they can do on their own if they're not ready to reach out and be with other people, mm-hmm. what would your tips be just to empower ourselves?
Okay, so the biggest tip I give, I mean, there's a million tips I could give, but the best thing I always say start off with is journaling. So for me, journaling is something that is so refreshing and it's so helpful for my mind. So every single morning when I wake up or evening, depending on your routine, I will sit down and I will ask myself the question, how do I feel today? Why do I feel that way? If it's negative, what can I do to improve it? If it's positive, what can I do to maintain it? So I will always write that down. I will write my goals out for the day, or write my goals out, what I want to achieve. So depending on what your lifestyle is or where you want to be, you just jot your goals down. And then if I'm feeling it a certain way, so say if I'm having a day where I'm feeling more anxious or I've got a bit more negative thoughts in my mind, what I'll do is I'll just sit and journal all my thoughts down for like 5 minutes. And mm-hmm. what I feel like that does is it gives you the space in your mind. So a lot of the time, if we're in a negative place or we've got a lot of negative thoughts, it's a continuous cycle. Then we start to feel negative because yeah. your thoughts and your emotions obviously link.
Mm-hmm.
So your response starts to become negative and then you just get caught up in this cycle. So I find for me journaling allows that space within your mind to process how you're feeling and what you're actually thinking. And a lot of the time when we have thoughts in our head, they can feel a lot worse. So by jotting them down, it gives us clarity and it gives us the space to actually reflect and think, okay, so this is actually what I'm feeling. I've got it out of my head now and I've wrote it down. And then when you go back, why am I feeling that way? Actually, that's quite irrational. And it just gives you like the space to think about what you are thinking and feeling.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds, it's so simple, but it's honestly like, it's so empowering to do it. So that's the biggest advice I give anyone who messages me who's going through something that where they may need a counsel, like it's that next level, or they do just need to start with something. Journal everything down. And another thing I say is, every time you think of a negative about yourself, I want you to straight away counteract it with a positive, because what that then does is you will have a habit within your mind where when you either look at yourself or you think about something to do with yourself, that automatically triggers a negative sensation because mm-hmm. you might not feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
So what you have to do is rewire your brain to think positive. So that's not easy. That's not just said. You can't fake it till you make it, as people say. So just basically say something positive every time you think of a negative. It could be a positive about your job, who you are as a mum, mm-hmm. what you look like,
yeah.
anything. The fact that you got up and you made the bed, anything that you want it to be about yourself. Every time you think of a negative, counteract it with a positive, and what you will start to do is change your brain habit and change how you think about yourself, and you'll start to notice more positive things. So they're the two small, basic, but very empowering things I tell women to start with.
Yeah, fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. You're a breath of fresh air. Good luck with everything that
you're
doing,
Lydia.
Yeah, all the best.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store.
Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool
via ladiesofliverpool.com.